we'll back up here to the 20th verse, and let me read three verses just to lead us into to where we begin this morning. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then the 23rd verse is where we want to pick up our discussion this morning. This is one of the most important verses in all of the Word of God. If you do not have it underlined or highlighted or somehow identified in your Bible, would you please do so now? And I want you to read it aloud with me, please. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, the instruction here is to keep thy heart. It does not say commit thy heart to God and He will keep it. But the responsibility is ours. God has given us the capacity to choose. I've said to you many times that we are not creatures of chance, but rather creatures of choice. And so when the devil comes along like the sleazy guy in the back alley and throws open his coat, say, want to see some dirty pictures, guy? And that's the way the devil does to you. He brings stuff along for your eyes and stuff for your ears. I want you to remember that he is that sleazy guy in the alley. Want to buy a watch, guy? The fellow meets you coming out of a restaurant. Want to buy a diamond ring? That's the devil. And when he comes like that, you have a choice to make. And you're either going to decide to give ear to these things or give eye to these things, or you're going to decide to shut them off. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to look at that. I'm not interested in hearing that. Now, just butt off right now. I don't want to hear it. When someone comes to you and wants to fill your ears with all sorts of bad stuff about somebody else, how are you going to respond to that? Knock it off. I'm not interested in hearing that. Just keep that to yourself. If you've got a problem there, speak to that other person about it. Don't speak to me about it. Be careful what you take into your ears. Be careful what you take into your eyes, because you know what will happen to you? It'll cause your heart to be soured. When someone tells you about, if this lady right here were to tell me something about this lady. Now this is a fabulous girl right here. She's a tremendous sister in the Lord and a lovely Christian lady. And I know of that and have known her for how many years have I known you? Oh, longer than that, isn't it? She said 5 years. Seems like longer than that. Seems like we grew up together. Anyway, she's an extra special person. But you know, if Jan were to say to me something about Judy and express something to me negatively, if I'm not careful, do you know what will enter into my heart? Ought against my sister Judy, even though she's never done anything to indicate that there's a problem there with her. But just the fact that Jan expresses that to me, and I have a respect for Jan and an admiration and a love and affection for her, and I listen to that and my ears are open to that, and I'm not careful about keeping my heart, and I listen to what she says. And now, it may be right, it may be wrong. Chances, you know, many times those things are the opinions of others rather than the accurate situation. And now, all of a sudden now, Judy didn't do anything to hurt me or anything to bother me or anything to offend me, but I've picked up Jan's offense. And now in my heart, I'm going to hold something against Judy. Now, let me ask you, how many times have you fallen into that trap? How many of you have ever fallen into that trap? If I don't see every hand in this place, I know we got to teach on lying. I know you have. We all have. And we've fallen into it more times than we ought to have fallen. We ought to be more careful about that. We ought to be more cautious about that. We ought to be more concerned about that. And we ought to be more wary of that. Now, this is what he's talking about here. Keep your heart. You have to make a choice. What are you going to do? Young person, what are you going to do when the guy sitting at the next desk has got dirty pictures he wants you to look at? Young person, what are you going to do when the guy when the kids on the playground are saying dirty words? Or telling funny stories that are not clean? What are you going to do? The scripture says, keep your heart. You keep your heart. Not the Lord keep your heart. You keep your heart. God will give you the power and has given us the power inside. He gives His Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us so that we can say no. I don't know about you, but this is kind of the way it was with me. Before I gave Jesus Christ charge over my life and invited Him into my heart to be my Lord and Master, I didn't have the power to say no. I wanted to say no, but I didn't have the ability to say no. But when I gave Him my life, I then had the ability to say no and stick to it. But I still had to make the choice. I still had to make the decision. I still had to say no. And so whether it be for a young person or whether it be for an adult, and whether it be unclean things or whether it just be unprofitable things, we have to say no to our eyes and no to our ears and keep our heart. For if we allow that stuff to come in, it gets in the heart, and it will infect you there. Now, generally, we don't like to say to Jan, I'm not interested in hearing that, because I don't want to offend Jan. So she's telling me this awful thing about Judy, and rather than offend her, I let her offend Judy and me. I don't want to tell her, Jan, you ought not to be telling me that, keep it to yourself, because I don't want to step on her toes, I don't want to hurt her. And rather than not hurt her, I allow her to contaminate me and to pollute my heart. I didn't keep my heart. See? Sometimes we do have to speak directly. Sometimes we can speak in love, but we do have to speak the truth. And that is, Jan, you really ought not to be telling me that, sister. If you've got a problem with Judy, you need to talk to Judy about that, and I don't want to hear any of it. Now, the scripture says that where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. If you don't have anybody telling stories, then the problem stops right there. So if you want to stop a problem, you just shut people up when they're trying to tell you about it. That's the way you stop it. But as long as you allow it to come into you, you're going to contaminate yourself, and what you're doing is throwing wood on the fire of strife and participating in whatever evil is occurring there. So we must keep our own heart. Second thing I want you to see here is that we are to keep it what in what way? What is the description of how we're to keep it? With all diligence. Now, what does that tell you about keeping your heart? Is that an easy job? It's not an easy job. Is it one that you can do on Sunday and leave it alone the rest of the week? No. You have to apply diligence to keeping your heart. That means you must be always wary. You must be always aware of what's going on around you. The scripture says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. That word sober means to be alert, to be watchful, to be actively involved in keeping your heart and not passive. Be sober and be vigilant. You keep your eyes open, you keep your ears open, but you be careful what they hear, and you shut off anything that is, turn your eyes away, turn your ears away in order to keep your heart. You must do this diligently, for just about the time you think you have your act together, that enemy will sneak up beside you. It will be so subtle. It will be so, you're so unsuspecting, and it will be so smooth. And the first thing you know, he has slipped his hooks right into your heart, and they're in there, and you don't even know how they got there, or you don't recognize how it happened. All of a sudden, you're at odds with somebody, or all of a sudden, you've got some bad thoughts. You've got some unclean thoughts, some dirty thoughts. And so, how did that happen to me? How did that get in there? You don't know how it got in. It's very subtly, he slips in there when you're not careful. Not sober and vigilant. Right.
And the Lord showed me that a diligent man makes plan for the future. And that a lot of situations that you come into, you can physically sit down and go over them with the Lord and say, okay, Father, what should my decisions be before they ever happen? And a diligent man has discretion. He sees what's coming and he avoids it rather than just be a fool and walk into it mentally. Mm-hmm. So, like if you know that you're given to having a strayful eye or something like that, then you purpose in your heart before it ever happens.
Stay away from those kinds of places and away from those kinds of people and so on and so forth.
Just don't walk into it.
Right. Okay. All right. Yes, Larry?
Well, I was thinking another aspect of what we're saying here about take heed what you hear, what measure you make. I always think of what credence you give to, whether you buy into it or whether you believe it.
Yes.
You simple believe every word.
Right.
But a prudent man will not be right. Anything you say.
Yes. Proves everything. Yes. Okay. All right. Let's move on here then. Because he said, the reason we must keep our heart is out of it, not out of diligence, but out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of a man's heart flow all of the circumstances and the issues of his experience in his life. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but rather what comes out of him. For out of the heart of a man proceeds fornications, adulteries, evil speakings, and all manners, murders, and so on. All manners of evil come out of the heart of a man. Out of a man's heart come the issues of life. We see elsewhere that there where we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in our heart. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the heart proceeds all of the issues of life. It out of your heart proceeds your words. Out of your heart proceeds your actions. Out of your heart proceeds your plans. Jesus said, you have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that he that looketh upon a woman with adultery in his heart hath already what? Already committed adultery, or lusteth after a woman in his heart, I believe is what he said. That he's already committed adultery. What's he saying there? Out of the heart flow all of the issues of life. And so if a man looks upon a woman lustfully, I want her, and I would if I could, I had the opportunity, I would. You see, the actions are simply an expression of what's already in his heart. And so he said, keep your heart with all diligence. Do not allow your heart to meditate on those things. Do not allow the devil access to your heart through your eyes and your ears. And if you find something in there that is displeasing, something that is ugly, something that is wrong, get in there and root that thing out in prayer and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and keep your heart pure. Keep your heart clean. Do not hold any bitterness. Do not hold any unforgiveness. Do not hold any resentment. Don't hold any anger against anyone. Those things get in the heart and they eat and eat and eat. And then you know what happens? At the time when you least expect it, out of your mouth flows this anger. And here you are in a situation where you're not exercising. You know, generally we can keep control over our actions. We can keep control over our mouth. And we can... keep down inside us many of the things that are there. But you've heard it said, I've said it to you many times, that you never know what's really in a ketchup bottle until you squeeze it. And you never know, even though the bottle is red and it's got a ketchup written all the way across it, and there's something in there, and you assume that there's ketchup in there, you don't really know what's in that thing until you squeeze it. And the same thing is true with the heart of a Christian. It may say Christian across his forehead. He may even carry a big Bible. It may be well worn. But you don't know what's inside him until you squeeze him. When you squeeze him real good at the time when he least expect it, how he acts and what he says is what's really on the inside. And this is why people, sometimes you'll be surprised at yourself. Out of you will come words, or you'll do something. You'll say, why on earth did I say that? Or why on earth would I do such a thing? The reason you did is because it's in your heart. Judy Weldon?
Would a renewed mind reflect the true spirit?
Yes.
And in this, it means the heart being the soulish part of the mind.
Well, both. Actually, both. It's more than just the mind. It's deeper. It's deeper than just your thinking processes. We have separated the soul and the spirit and the body into a nice, neat little package. But the scripture, when it uses the word heart particularly, does not always make the distinction real clear between the soul and the spirit. And it seems that the more I study that, Judy, it seems to me that the heart and the soul, or the spirit and the soul, are more closely tied together than we have ever understood that they were. Brother Higgins teaching on the three-part man and what we see in the scripture, spirit, soul, and body, it's not quite that distinct. I think he would agree with that as well. As time goes on, we find that you cannot separate your feelings quite from your spirit. Many times the word, New Testament talks about spirit, pneuma, talks about soul, psuche, but has another word for heart, cardia. And the word heart seems to tie the soul and the spirit kind of together there. When Jesus was talking about out of the heart, he's talking more than out of the mind. He's talking about down inside us, deep down on the inside. Not necessarily where the Spirit of God lives, because we know that he can't think that way or act that way. But it's a part of us that the natural mind does not really grasp fully. I think I understand what you're driving at as far as your question.
Well, I find when I keep my mind renewed, when I stay in the Word daily and in communication, these things that the gossip, the things of an unrenewed mind will tend to come out more. As I renew my mind, and if I ever backslid out of the Word and do not keep the mind renewed, it's when I start falling into these.
Mm-hmm.
These situations and, succumbing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the renewed mind is so much easier to walk.
Yes.
To love walking.
But see, what you're doing, not only are you renewing your mind, but you're also feeding your spirit man. And your spirit man is now fat and strong on the Word of God and is going to operate in a godly manner. But if you have your spirit starved because it's not fed the Word of God, then you have a weak spirit man. He's still born again. He still loves God, but he's so weak he doesn't know how to act like it. And even though he's had lots of word last week, he didn't have any this week. And in the same way that you could feed your natural body last week and be big and strong, this week you haven't eaten anything for 7 days and you're going to be pretty weak. It's the same thing in the realm of the spirit. So what you're saying is exactly right, the renewing of the mind, but also the feeding and the strengthening of a man's spirit. It's something that we must do each day to keep us strong in that area. So you may recognize this in yourself. Sometimes you can see it in others, but it's more important that we see it in ourselves than that we make judgments about others. That when something should happen, that you get pricked in a certain way at a time, generally when you're not expecting it, and you get jabbed, and all of a sudden you do something or you say something that is, you think, unlike you, and you may even say, gee, that's not like me. The fact of the matter is, it is like you. And what you have thought is like you is not like you. You understand what I mean? In other words, you've been playing an external game. And you have been behaving in a way that you think is appropriate and proper, but it's artificial. It's not flowing from the spirit within. It's sort of like a man playing church. We know that there are hundreds, thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people sitting in our churches playing Christian. They've learned how to play the game. They've learned the rules. The rules are you don't cuss, you don't drink, you don't swear, you don't run around on your wife. You don't fight, you don't do drugs, you don't do anything overtly that is anti-Bible with no kind of the rules, but it's all artificial. We're doing it externally, but it's not on the inside and the heart. And until that heart gets changed by the power of God, a man is, he's just an instant away from giving himself away. Someone back there, Russell.
I think what you're saying is why David asked in creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Yes, yes. What I did, I know was wrong and flowed out of my own heart. Now, Lord, do a work inside me. Yes, Psalm 51. Vera?
Well, I've noticed, too, that no matter how long you've walked with the Lord and been with Him, that when you get into positions where you spend any length of time with those that are not believers, that the association with them can spoil useful habits. And you'll find yourself, if you spend any length of time with these kind of people, you'll find yourself doing things that in the past you hadn't done and that was not in your heart. Like the scripture says, bad association will spoil your useful habits, or to that effect. And I've noticed that in my life, that if I spend any length of time with those that are unbelievers and I mean in their presence on any kind of personal basis or something like that, that I'll notice a change in my spiritual life as well.
It goes in. You set your guard up, and it's just pretty hard to keep your guard up all the time when you're in the midst of unbelievers, and that information does go in. It's pretty hard for a Christian, to tune his radio to Z93 and say, I'm not going to listen to the words. I'm not going to let this in me. But have his radio tuned to that. I mean, it's going in. I guarantee it's going in. And you're just not going to be able to tune it out. You can't. And when you hear these things around you, some of you in your working situations, you really have to be sober and really have to be vigilant. Jack, I saw your hand earlier, didn't I?
I was going to say, it's pertaining to that. We really don't know our own heart. When we hear things come out of our mouth from our heart, I believe we say it's because we haven't diligently separated and discerned what to let in our ears and in, you know, and through our eyes, mm-hmm. about what we watch or what we see.
Haven't you felt all of us, haven't we all felt this way? And haven't you prayed this way? Oh, God, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to say that. I feel awful that I did. Forgive me, Lord, and help me. Now, as Russell was reading from Psalm 51, help me that I would never do that again. And whatever it was in me that brought that forth, change that inside me, Lord. Do a work inside me. That would never happen again. I don't want to be like that. Sometimes even you wouldn't express it, but you look at your own feelings and how you are thinking about someone. And haven't you ever gotten to the point where you just get frustrated with yourself? How could I feel that way about such a person? I know Jesus doesn't feel that way about that individual. Oh, God, help me, wretched man that I am. I wonder if that wasn't some of the things that Paul had in mind in Romans 7 in the early part of verse 8. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Did I see your hand earlier, Phyllis?
No, you didn't see my hand. I contemplated raising it earlier, but I didn't raise it.
Oh, okay. Maybe I saw it on its way up.
I was just thinking, as we were saying this, something that entered into my heart years ago when I was in an office, and it was an occult practice, and I didn't even have the knowledge at that time to realize it was. It was something that I thought was kind of silly, but as I watched it, I accepted it and I believed it. Some women were predicting the birth of children by swinging the needle and thread over the wrist. And it's a form of pendulum, modern pendulum, it's a form of witchcraft. But they didn't know it, and I didn't know it. It was just like a silly game.
Uh-huh.
And that knowledge entered into my heart that I was a girlfriend and a boy, and I would have two children. And the Lord showed me just this past year that that's why I was so sure when I was carrying Holly that I had a boy in my womb, because I had let that enter in. And even after I saw that it was witchcraft, you know, years before, after I was spirit-filled and I saw it was witchcraft, and I renounced the whole thing, you know, and I even told them, and I stayed away from those things. And that was another thing he showed me, was I had renounced, and I said, turn it around. And so he completely turned around those predictions, the witches that said I'd have a girl and then a boy, that I had two girls.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I had left that stuff stay in my heart and didn't even know it was there. And I had taken the word that God had given me personally concerning the prophecies for the child and doctored it with that prediction.
Colored it up.
Uh-huh. Where I thought it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went back and I looked over at the words that he had said, the things that he said are coming true and came true. But I just took that little piece,
mm-hmm.
and it amazed me just to see how I had put that in.
Mm-hmm. Your presupposition colored the word of God. Yes, that can happen. Ron?
I believe James 4, 7 through 10 gives us some insight into how to cleanse our hearts. It says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing that comes out at me from what you read there is, purify your hearts. You do it. You double-minded. And that's really what that's really what we've been talking about today, a double-mindedness in heart. Mark?
The same thing that Phyllis was talking about, as I was working here in the church today and I was meditating on the Word and just praying, the Lord showed me some things about when you're young and you're not born again, and people say things to you that in your heart at the time you think they're good, and you accept them. And I remember things people said to me when I was 6 or 7 years old, like this man told me one time, says, I believe you'll be a barber one of these days, you know, because you like to, you just, your hair is always neat, you know, and you like the things like that. So I kept that in my heart for years. And not only that, but before I got born again, I always wanted to be, to raise purebred hogs. And that was in my heart before I got born again. But the Lord influenced me as I was studying here the other day, I mean, praying the other day, that all these things, we need to give all of our plans and all of our dreams we've ever had over to God and just cancel them out. And then say, God, renew, like Russell said, renew within me a new spirit. Mm-hmm. And give me your dreams and your plans that you want for me now. And let God wipe all that stuff from our past away, because a lot of us, like she said, are still living in things mm-hmm. that was not godly. Mm-hmm. And we don't even know they're not godly. But if we just give all that to God, I gave him everything. I said, right here, stand right here. I said, God, take every dream I've ever had and just take it. I don't want it. And you renew in me and give me new ideas, new plans, and let me start from scratch right now. And I'll never worry about anything else. And since then, the Lord, I feel like a release has come in my spirit, because all those things were dwelling in me, like that man told me I was going to be a barber one of these days, and I've dwelt in that for years, you know? And it's just something that Satan used to pull you away from what God mm-hmm. wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even realize it was going on.
I see a couple of other hands. I want to get them in just a moment, but let me make this observation before I do. Do you see, moms and dads, do you see how urgent it is that we protect what goes into the hearts of our kids? Do you see how critical it is that we do not, for example, what happens to a young girl if everybody around her is continually telling her how gorgeous she is and how beautiful she is and how pretty she is, and I bet all the boys really like you. Now, what happens in that little girl's heart? She's going to grow up proud, isn't she? I mean, isn't that likely to, out of her heart is going to flow the issues of life. Now, let's take another little girl who perhaps is not quite so beautiful. Matter of fact, she may be very plain. And she hears it said, her dad's over, she overhears her dad say to her mom, I don't know about Christine. She just, I don't know if a man ever going to find her attractive at all, whether she's ever going to get married. So-and-so, Susie is so much prettier than Christine is, and so on and so forth. And now that girl's going to grow up how? Introverted and twisted and warped and so on the inside. Now, what's happened is her heart, little children do not know how to keep their hearts. Kids do not understand this. Most adults don't understand it. And so they grow up, little boys grow up, you're never going to be worth a tinker's flip. Can't you do anything right, son? What's the matter with you, boy? Are you born without a brain? And how does a boy grow up? Thinking just so inferior. Thinking so little of himself. We develop in our children the attitudes that they have towards themselves by what we feed into their hearts. Parents, teachers, fellow church members, relatives and friends around these families, we must be very careful what we say to the children and about the children, because we are setting them on life's course. For out of their heart flow all the issues of life, and moms and dads are the ones that are responsible to help the children keep their hearts. Charles, let's get your comment.
One time about 3 years ago, I shut myself away, I was fasting, praying, waiting on the Lord. And most time I don't take the phone call, this preacher friend of mine called, and he began to talk about this lady. Well, and right off, in the last 3 days, I spent at least 24 hours in prayer, waiting on God. And I jumped on that bandwagon, and I said some horrible things about that lady to him. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart. He said, him that seemed to be religious and robbed not his tongue, he's religious in vain. Well, I knew I was in trouble. Here I was trying to be religious. I mean, 3 days, I've wasted my life away. In other words, shut myself off from the things I could have been doing. And just in 5 minutes or 10,
lost the whole thing.
Him that seemed to be religious. And so,
yeah.
I repented over that mess and thought I was in pretty good shape. This lady never come to my church, and she kind of visited around. church hop, whatever you want to call it. None of my business. What he does.
You're cruise-o-matic.
Yeah. And who was about the third row that late Sunday morning? And here I was trying to preach, and she looked at me straight in the eye. Boy, after church, I beelined to her, and I said, "Lady, I said some things about you this week. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" She grinned and said, "Yeah, so-and-so told me." So that brother... Something that puts you in place and let the Holy Spirit...
True.
Something like that. When you've been trying to get an answer from God on a situation in your life.
Devil just set you up. Used a brother to do it, didn't he?
And I thought I had good things in my heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been trying to put the word. I've been reading for 3 days, you know, reading and praying, just really trying to put the word. And all of a sudden, I jumped on that thing and said, and it didn't even dawn on me till the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when He rebukes you, to me, it's always with the word. 90% of the time, He just spoke the word and it just cut like a two-edged sword.
Thank God for His Spirit. Someone over here. Yes, Lisa?
I had a comment about the witchcraft she was talking about earlier. You know, that when I was a young Christian, I had been a Christian about a year, and I worked in a restaurant, worked at night, and this was really a strange thing. The guy I worked, we worked one-on-one when you got late, and the guy I worked with, he was a devil worshiper. And for a long time, I didn't know it. Now, new Christian, that, you know, we just, you're just like a little kid, you don't know nothing like that comes up. And it was really funny when it happened. I found out how he worshiped, and he knew more about the Bible than a pastor knew. And I found out from my pastor, that's why he knew so much about the Bible. Because they say they're counterfeiters. They know as much or more about it. They twist it around and turn around in their own effort. But what was really strange is I had to keep my guard up all the time. Because I had to watch what I said around him, because I would feel like the devil was going to come back at me and just condemn me for everything I'd say. It didn't matter what it was. And that was really one of the hardest situations I've ever been into, because I had to work with him one-on-one, just me and him working there. And I had that fear, but I didn't let him see that I had a fear. Because, you know, you have to, that's the fear you don't want to get into when it's somebody like that around. And it was really strange. My husband used to come up and visit me at night, and he went up there one night. And he, you know, we was all excited about going to church and everything, because you Christians usually are. And he came up, and he invited the guy to church. And the guy says, "I don't go to that kind of church." And it kind of threw him, you know, because he said, "Well, what kind of church do you go to?" He told him, you know, strictly out. He told him what he did, you know. And it just, you know, just blow your mind what he would tell you. And he would tell me things they would do, which I was interested to know, because that way I would know, I could recognize more better, you know, by what they said.
We need to be very careful what we say to each other, you know. Husbands need to be careful what they say to their wives. Wives need to be careful what they say to their husbands. Preachers need to be careful what they say to other preachers, Charles. Because the devil can use our tongues. Even though we're believers, he can use our tongues to speak to others, to put something in their heart. If the devil were to come in this door here and have his red outfit on and have his ears on and his forked tail, you know, and have his whatever that prong thing is that he's painted as carrying. If he were to walk in the door there and say, "Vic, I've got something I want to tell you," well, he'd have the name of Jesus right between the eyes. I mean, just that quick. But he has come in the person of people whom I love very much and trust very much, and didn't come in his red outfit, and has spoken some things to me that got in my heart and just nearly devastated me. I mean, just nearly destroyed me, because he used someone I trusted. He used someone that I loved, and he used someone that I respected. And so he'll use any instrument he can in order to get access to you. We must be careful that he doesn't use us to get access to someone whom we love. Now, Steve, I saw your hand just a moment. Just a moment, Lisa. Let me get Steve here. Didn't I see your hand?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did. That's fine. Well, along with what you're saying and all, the Lord had been ministering to me, and I was sharing this with Jerry Murphy the other day about how that I was driving down the highway the other day, and the only thing that I had been putting in my spirit to feed myself on was Christian music, and I'd just been reading a lot of Word, and at that particular time I had not seen any television at all, no commercials or nothing. I mean, there had just been nothing but pure Word. And just praise, thank, you know, music and all.
And I was just driving down the road kind of quiet, you know, and my mind started to kind of wander like it generally does when there's nothing else to do. But the only thing that would come up was things that I had been reading from the Bible, like the things of the kings and what they had done. And the Lord just, you know, just mentioned to me just that quick that, like, the only reason that that's the only thing that's coming to you, because that's all that's in there. That's all. There was nothing else there. It's like before when you might drive down the road, if you'd have been listening to country music or whatever the things we like to listen to in the past, the devil would always bring those things back, you know, kind of subtly. He'd bring it up at a time when you start getting you thinking about that stuff. I mean, not really realizing, but just subtly, you know. And even while I was meditating on saying that, the Lord quickened something to me. And just like an automobile, it's like if you're putting nothing in it but pure gas and it's real clean gas, that thing will run good. But if it gets water mixed in there and that carburetor, I mean, that thing just starts jumping. It don't want to go right. It don't want to run smooth. When it's nothing but pure gas or just the pure word you put in there, I mean, it just, you know, just zoom. It cranks up, fires up. I mean, it doesn't miss a lick. It's just yes. Right on all the time.
That's right.
But you mix it up, you put that water in there, and water gets in there, it messes you up. And that's the same thing that happened with Christians. You know, that's why I can say you don't realize why you do the things you do sometimes. Well, that thing comes out because that's what you put
in. It's what you put in.
You know, and you want it to run smooth, you know, and you can't see.
So the way you keep your heart is by keeping your eyes and your ears.
Clean and clear and pure all the time. It'll run smooth all the time.
That's right. Lisa, let's get the remainder of your comment.
I just was thinking out of the heart, out of the heart.
Right.
That's my main thing I was just thinking.
Matthew 12. Yes. I saw another hand. Was it Larry?
Yeah. The comments you're making about speaking against people and all, you know, you think there's that speech like the piercing of the sword, you know, the cutting. And I think of James, where it talks about the tongue in chapter 3. The whole thing of what he's talking about is, he comes to the point, is we bless God with our mouth and then turn around and curse man.
Curse man.
Made in the image of God, and that we ought not to do that. And also, I find a law that exists in this matter of the tongue. There is no way possible to stop from saying unless you stop from going in. I mean, there's no amount of self-control, no amount of
diligence
or spiritual exercise.
That's right.
Or anything. It's impossible to stop it.
Yes. You can stop it as long as you can think about it. But when you get squeezed, then out it comes. When you get squeezed and you respond naturally, and out it comes. Sometimes the people that are closest to you, you don't realize that's in it. All of a sudden, something will just come out. It'll stun you. What? But that was allowed to enter. The information was allowed to go in. Your child cannot say a four-letter word unless he's heard it or seen it. He will never say an obscenity unless he hears it. He'll never speak it. See? So it has to go in before it comes out. And if it does go in, and it's not dealt with when it goes in there, whoops, that's wrong, I'm going to root that thing out, take that out of my heart. If you don't do that, then sooner or later it's going to come out. And so if around your house, you allow profanity around your house, say your husband's not saved and he's a profane speaker, or you have a cousin or an uncle or a brother or a sister or someone that comes by the house routinely, father, mother, grandparents, or so on. Or you have other influences, neighborhood influences. Your children are playing with other kids who are speaking in four-letter words. You know what's going to happen? One of these days, that four-letter word is going to come right out in the Christian classroom. Amen. It's going to come right out on the Christian playground, or it's going to come right out at you when you got the board up and you're ready to lay one on his backside. It's going to come out of it. Because it went in. And the only way to, that's what we're trying to get across here. The way you keep your heart is to keep your eyes and your ears. And it is, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. This is the way it works. See? See no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. But if you don't keep the entranceway, the gateways to your heart, and if you don't help your children to make these kinds of discerning judgments, then they're going to embarrass you. one day. And they're going to surprise you one day, just like you surprised yourself. Now, one other scripture here, and then we'll take a couple of comments. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and let's look at verse 26. Now, Moses is speaking here, reminding the children of Israel what had happened 40 years before when they refused to go up and take the land because there were giants in the land and all that. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. This, in other words, we've seen the children of the giants. I want you to notice especially the 28th verse. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our what? How? Saying. We heard our brethren say, and therefore were discouraged in our heart. The children of Israel did not keep their heart. Now, Joshua and Caleb heard the same things, didn't they? But they kept their heart. They were not discouraged in heart. They said what God had said meant more to them than what the people said. They heard both. But God said, we're able. God's with us and we are able. Let's go. And nobody would go. So this is the influence. We have to be very careful of what we hear. All right. Jamie, let's get your comment.
Well, a lot of what you've been talking about, I've been talking with my students.
Uh-huh.
My seventh parents, their parents spend the money to send them to Christian school. But then, when they go home, they let them watch all these videos and these movies and listen to rock music, and they pour all this bad influence on them. And my students tell me, well, my parents know that I can discern the bad, and I won't pay any attention to that. And I said, how can you not pay attention to it? What's right there before you? And, and I'll talk to the parents and I'll say, well, I had to compromise and let them go see this movie because their friends were doing it. Or I know that it's just natural because of the time they're growing up that they're going to want to start dating now. Okay. But we don't have to compromise. And we're not supposed to be a part of this world. And I don't understand why the parents will put forth the money to send them to a Christian school and then let all these other influences come in.
Because it's very, very difficult to say no and stand to it. It's the pressures that are on the kids and the pressures that come to bear on the parents are very, very strong, and the parents do not yet have the parents do not have a strong enough conviction in this area. And so they permit some of these things to occur. But here's the danger of what the parents are doing from 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel. This is what we must watch, beloved, when it comes to child rearing. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Remember Eli the priest, the man of God, who had two sons and they were really bad actors? And God said to Eli in verse 29, watch this verse. Wherefore, now God's speaking to this dad. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thou thy sons above me. You have honored your sons above me. How did you do that? You honored your sons above me because you did not restrain them. Now go down to chapter 3, verse 13. For I have told him, Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he kneweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Now there's the key. The parents are held accountable for what we allow to enter into the lives of our children. And it is, as a parent, as a parent myself, it is a lot easier to give in a little bit along the way and to not listen to the kids struggle and wrestle and constantly press against you. But you must understand that kids are always going to do that because they want to know what the limit is. And you can draw the limit out here or you can draw the limit down here. But even if you draw it out here, they're still going to press against you way out here. So why don't you draw it way back here where it's going to do them some good? Let them buck against that one. All right, we do have to close there.